But I wanted to bring a real simple thought from the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. If you'll stand for the reading of God's Word, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and he begins in the first verse. He says, "Let brotherly love continue, and let not be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." Verse 4, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said," here's a thought for you, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In verse 6, Paul goes on, he says, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And in verse 8, it says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." And while you're standing, would you pray with me? Lord, we appreciate the opportunity to be here in the pulpit this evening, Lord. We just want to be a blessing to this congregation, to these people. There's such a heaviness, not just today and not just because of the loss of our dear friend, but just in the world around us today, people are so discouraged. And we look around and we, you know, if we're not careful, we look around and we forget to look up, to look to the cross, to look to heaven, to look to the God that's never left the throne, our loving Father. God, be with everything that's said and done. Be with each family, each circumstance, each individual that's here tonight. Speak to them through your word. These things we pray in your blessed name. Amen. And I'd like to bring a simple message this evening on the promise, "I will never leave thee." Now, I'm a guy who do a lot of writing, contracts and words and that kind of stuff. And, you know, you begin to make commitments to people, and they have meaning. And the words that you say, that they mean something. And when we look at Paul and his writing here, you know, to the Jewish Christians, to the children of God at this point, we see the promises that he has brought forward all through this book. And we look around, and if we're not careful, we'll forget to look up. We'll forget to recognize the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and the beginning and the end and the Alpha and the Omega, and to realize the circumstances that we have going on in our life, in our world, in our society today. God has allowed those things to happen. He has not abandoned us just because we have difficult circumstances. And I think about the promises that are made and the source of those promises. And sometimes, you know, when you write something, you read something, you have to look at the source and the power that's behind it. Is this someone that can make the things that are written to happen? Well, folks, I would tell you from cover to cover, from the beginning of creation until the end of the book of Revelation and the end of all ages as we know it, the renewal of all things good, God is able. God is capable. He can lift us above the circumstances that present themselves in the world around us today. I look at the book of Hebrews, and we're here in this last chapter. You look at the promises that were brought forward under the inspiration of God and the promises that were made to the Hebrew children. The Bible tells us in the first chapter, the second verse, about the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the second chapter, it talks about God's sovereign rule over all the earth. In the third chapter, it talks about how Christ was so much greater even than Moses, which would have particularly meant something to the people receiving this word. In the fourth chapter, he talks about the rest that he's provided for believers. And I thank God that that Brother Brian and Miss Rose and Brother Bill and you know, and Dustin, I was thinking about Dustin, and I think about all these that have entered into that rest that God has prepared for them. In the fifth chapter, Paul talks about the promise of eternal salvation. And I'm so glad that our salvation is not based upon our merits, upon our works. It's not based upon the amount of money we give or the position that we hold in the church. But that Jesus Christ died upon the cross of Calvary and gave us the promise of eternal life. Something that only he could give to us, and something that no one else in the entire universe could ever take away from us. We ought to have peace and comfort in that. Paul writes on, and in the seventh chapter he talks about Christ, the intercessor for our sins and the forgiver of our sins. And in chapter 8 he talks about the mercy which we don't deserve, but yet God has given to us. And by the way, I'm so thankful for mercy. It's something that every one of us needs every day. There is none perfect. There's none righteous, no, not one. And God is so kind and patient, so long-suffering towards us, forgiving us of those sins, even when we really don't deserve it. In the ninth chapter, Paul goes on and he talks about purging through the Holy Spirit, through the works of God, purging us from our dead works. In the 10th chapter, he talks about in the 31st verse, about the importance of having the right aspect, the right fearful attitude towards God. The 11th chapter talks about the faith. In the 12th chapter, he talks about Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And here at the end of all of that, like a beautiful Christmas present with a bow tied around it, Paul brings it back together and he reminds people that Jesus himself said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Precious promises that get us through those difficult days. You think about the idea of the help that we need in the world around us today. And we got lots of folks, I think they've got some ideas, and in fact some of them have some very dangerous ideas about what help looks like. But in the world around us today, when people are in trouble, they look around, I think they see three sources of help or three types of help that they might need. Folks look around and they say, well, I need physical help. And we see that with the virus and COVID, and we see that with surgery that's required and what have you, and the world steps in, and sometimes, you know, they can help you in some of those circumstances. We see the world around us today is really a very emotional place. We see lots of folks who need someone to encourage them, someone to help them find truth, to try to help them find, the path that they should be on. The world looks around, they see the finances. And by the way, I think we've got a problem today, a bit of a disconnect, because the finances continue to be good. People look around and say, well, the world's all doing okay. You know, we're doing okay. Look at the stock market and what have you. But you've never been able to judge the condition of the world by the condition of the stock market or the amount of money that you have in the bank. I wonder about in the days of Noah, if it wasn't a very prosperous time, and that was part of the reason that people didn't heed the preaching that Noah had brought forward under the power of God. But the world looks around, and when they say, we've got a problem, they look for a promise in the area of physical or financial or emotional, somebody that will help us. But church, I'm here to tell you tonight that while God can and does help us in those areas, usually what we need help the most in is in the spiritual area. We don't know, not one of us, we don't know how many days we have upon this earth. We watched Brother Brian and Miss Kim and Brother Vinoy, and I talked about this earlier this week, and it was 4 years, beginning basically about this time of year, 4 years that he faced the challenges. God by his side, Miss Kim helping him every step of the way. Very courageous as he looked out and he looked at the choices he had. Incredibly intelligent man. Made smart choices, and for 4 years he went through the things that most of us probably could never imagine. I don't think we even have any idea how bad 1 week could have been, with the treatments and the things that he received. But Brother Vinoy, I'm just so thankful that Brother Brian, by his own word, got the chance not just to have physical, well-being and the emotional, financial, those type things. But do you remember the day he came in and told us that he had accepted Christ as his Savior? This young man, who was so brilliant, who had stood in this pulpit and taught Sunday school and had been such an encouragement. And by the way, you go back and you look at the dates on thekudos.com. He was an encouragement to so many people for so many years. Amen? And then the Bible, Brian told us what? He said, I was in the airport, and a little lady, and I don't know if he ever met her again, came to him, gave him a tract, and Brother Gary, he accepted Christ as his Savior. His help went from being, intellectual and awareness and what have you, to being born again. The promise of God became real in his life. The spiritual help that God had provided for him became real upon that day. I think about how God wants to help us. And you look at these verses, a lot of this is about social duties, as it were, that Paul wrote to the Hebrews. And he began to, encourage them, and very, very precious words. But folks, you got to realize that this word that's given, this book that we hold that's precious, that just becomes everything to a Christian, it does have certain conditions on being applied. The promises that are given, that we talk about here, are given to those who are saved. The people who know the Lord Jesus Christ and have invited Him into their life, accepted Him as their Savior, they trust God, and it allows God to do things in our life. It allows Him to be what He wants to be in our life. Salvation is not about works. It's not about words. It's about knowing Christ as our Savior. It's about taking those actions and following Him as a new believer, as a born-again Christian, as it were. And God helps those that believe Him. God keeps these promises that He has made. And it's His will that we look at His Word and find great encouragement in it. You look at just these verses that we read. In the first verse of the 13th chapter, it talks about the situation of love. And I'm glad to know what love is. Unfortunately, sometimes the world around us today, and you, and by the way, you know, you can't escape it if you watch television, you read the news, what have you. There's all this distortion about these things. Hey, let me tell you what, there's a lot of this that's just wrong. You look at verse 1, let brotherly love continue. I'm thankful for those people I've known in the brotherly love, in the aspect of just having a relationship that is so special and so unique. Brian Odle was one of those. Brother Wayne Good, you're one of those for me. I think about, you know, Brother Gary, and I think about Brother Gary. I think about Brother Vinoy, and you think about the relationships that you have. Brother Brian, his absence will be sorely missed. We talk about Vacation Bible School. A year ago, Brother Vinoy and Brother Brian and I sat together. We had lunch, and we were planning for Vacation Bible School. We're going to miss him for all those things. But our love will continue. We will look after one another, and we will look after each other at this church. And Miss Jerry, when you say, you know, you talk about the kids, and you stay in touch with them, that's love. And God has given us that desire to look after each other. In the second verse, it talks about charity, about entertaining those and being, you know, what God would have us to be charitable to those around us, to be open and to be hospitable. And all through the Word of God, God calls us to walk in the path that He exemplified as the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about the example that God gave us in all things. He showed us what mercy looks like when He was here upon the earth. I was reading today, and I was thinking about the washing of the feet that the Lord Jesus did just before He went to the cross at Calvary. You ever stop and think about that? If you think back to what the circumstances were, there were dirt roads. The people in that day, they wore sandals. Their feet were always dirty. It was just the nature of life. Yet the Bible tells us that just before Jesus was taken away, before He went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, just before, you know, he faced the most gruesome and awesome of public deaths, He took time, Brother Vinoy, to reach down and to wash the disciples' feet, to encourage them. Hey, folks, He's set an example for us in love, in charity, in compassion, in the things that Paul has mentioned here in these verses that we're expected to understand. And we're expected to follow as much as is possible. We're the church. We're called out. We're saved for a purpose. I thank God for the salvation that He's given to us, and I thank Him for the purpose that He's brought into our lives. In verse 5 of the 13th chapter, Paul went on and he wrote that, "For He has said, I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee." You think about the word forsake, and we don't use that a lot in our vocabulary today, but you know it means to withdraw from someone or to abandon someone. I don't know if this has ever happened in your life, but in my life, there have been days, Brother Vinoy, and particularly with the type of work I would do, where I would try to reach out and make contact with someone that maybe you interacted with, and you can't reach them, Brother Gary. You leave a message, there's no phone call back. You send them an email and there's no response, and you just wonder what has happened to that person. Sometimes you find that it's just the circumstances of life, they can't respond. And then unfortunately, sometimes you find there are people that they just don't want to be a part of your life anymore. Have you ever had that happen? You know, you think about people who go through the absolute heartbreaking situation of a divorce. Very often what you see is one spouse just pulls back and says, I don't want to be a part of your life anymore. I want to withdraw from all of the things that we've had in common. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, it can happen in the world around us today. You can see people get upset and they may walk away, they may pull back and what have you. But Jesus said that he would never leave us. He would never forsake us. In the moment when our life is the most difficult, the most struggling, when we're just trying to just fight to get a good breath of air, his promise is that he is absolutely and totally dependable. There is no force in the world, in the universe, that can separate us from the love of God. It simply cannot happen. So we look at these verses and we begin to think of the promises of God and the encouragement that he's given us and the path that he set before us. And we get to the sixth verse. And Brother Vinoy, what does it say? Paul says, well, you know, we do these things and we stand on these promises and we recognize that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us in verse 6, so that we may boldly say. Now, I like this word, boldly say. We live in a world today when people are they're very prominent, I guess. They're very visible, as it were. And Cindy was talking to me the other day, and she said, okay, you know, I've got this thing, and like 2 years ago, here was this family we knew, and they had like 20,000, you know, followers that followed them. And don't know what that number is today. And Brother Vinoy, we've got people that have these big pulpits, you know, and I don't mean that from the preaching, but just they've got these huge audiences that they reach out to. And when they speak, people listen to them. They have influence. But you ever think that God speaks through the small voice sometimes? And that sometimes the greatest witness that we'll ever get isn't because we have 20,000 people that follow us on social media or whatever that number is. But it is so good to be able to look back to the Word of God and to present the gospel message, to present the good news of what Jesus has done in our life, and to say those things boldly. We talk about the idea of witnessing to people, the necessity of sharing our faith. God puts us in places where we will be one-on-one in very, very unique situations with people that they may never have another interaction with a child of God. Pretty serious situation, isn't it? Makes us think about that. Brother Wayne, I look at you and I think about the work that was done in the prisons. And you know, in verse 2 it says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. How many times, Brother Wayne, have you went to the small room and been able to present the gospel? Maybe to someone that was the only time that they ever came, but to present that gospel message and to say in all boldness that Jesus loves you and he died for your sins and that through his sacrifice you can have eternal life. We can say those things with boldness. We can say those things with confidence. And Brother Vinoy, there are people that are much better at debating things and they're much more eloquent in their words than I would ever be. But I can tell you with great confidence, Brother Lowell, I know who I was before the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know what he did in my life, and with great boldness I can tell you what he did after that. Brother Brian Odell stood right here not that long ago, and he talked about the salvation that had come into his life. He said it with boldness. He said it with confidence. He said it without reservation that God had changed his eternal condition. Paul goes on, he writes that the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I'm so glad that Christ is with us in all things. You know, isn't it amazing that just before Christ ascended at the end of the book of Matthew, he told the men that you know, he left the 11 disciples behind, and he'd spent three and a half years with them, and they were such an eclectic group, and Peter, who would have picked Peter to be the leader, you know, of this group? Most of us would have probably picked John if we'd been right. We'd probably picked Andrew. He was kind of the peach, you know, among the group if you get down to look at it. But as Jesus spoke to him, and just as before he ascended, what did he say? I'm with you always. I'm with you when somebody that you love isn't there anymore. I'm with you when you're having struggles paying your bills. I'm with you when you're sick and you don't want to be sick. I'm with you when somebody has turned their back on you. We think about the fact that God's love, when he says, the Lord is my helper, it's not circumstantial. Poor health, Christ is with you. Family's broken, Christ is with you. Financially struggling, Christ is with you. Opposition at work, Brother John, Christ is with you. He'll help you find another job. I'm so glad that God looks at us with spiritual eyes, and he sees us, as it were, hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder sometimes if we shouldn't be praying, more like those great prophets of old. God, would you just open our eyes? Help us to see the spiritual blessings that are around us. The church won't fail. And by the way, the church isn't the building. The church is you. The church is us. Every one of us is going to go through some struggles. I thank the Lord for the witness, not just of Brother Brian, but, you know, of Brother Dan and Brother Bill and, you know, others that have faced difficult circumstances, and they never back down from the challenges that were placed in front of them. Bad things are going to happen, unfortunately, but it doesn't mean that God has forsaken us. We were talking with Chloe on the way to church. Cindy didn't know what my message was. And she asked Chloe, she said, what was the best thing that happened to you today? Chloe said, well, I'm not sure. Cindy said, well, what's the worst thing that happened to you today? I figured she'd say, I had to talk with Dad. But, you know, I had to talk to Dad. She showed me mercy. That didn't come up. And what we agreed on, Brother Vinoy, is that we had a good average day. And listen, folks, when we walk with Jesus and we have a good average day, we've been blessed. It's not that we have the best day. It's not that we have the worst day. But when we do have the best day, we ought to give God the glory for it. And when we struggle and we go through the worst day, that trouble, it's normal. This world is under a curse. And we have to remember that most of the people we interact with don't know Jesus. They don't stand upon these promises. They may know the words, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. They don't really understand. But I'm going to tell you that God is greater than the circumstances of our life. He's greater than the moment that we live in. We had a chance to send out the message about the passing of Brother Brian. And you know, I sat down. I don't do this often. I sat down. I started writing. You only get 2 minutes, but you get 120 seconds. At 121, you're done. And I thought, what would I say? You know, how would we encourage the church? Because he just meant so much to each one of us. And I thought about the relationship that Brian had had. And I talked about, you know, the involvement of Miss Kay and Miss Kim and the kids and how God, you know, had been good. But I want you to think about all those in history. We know Brother Brian very well. We were able to watch him closely. But even though we couldn't see him with our physical eyes, there was a Daniel that God looked after. And when days were difficult, God was with him. And there was a young man whose name was Joseph. And his brothers sold him into slavery and abandoned him. And Brother Mike, they chained him to other slaves. You know, he's just a kid. What? You know, surely this is a joke. And they carried him away. You think about Noah. For 120 years, he worked. No one showed repentance, but yet God provided divine escape. You think about Elijah. You think about the widow woman that was out of food. She was expecting to absolutely die when the prophet came along and the cruse of oil was blessed that would never run dry. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you today that God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Last year was not a great year for most of us in many, many, many different ways. Brother Wayne, it was about a year ago that you and I went to the funeral of Brother Roger Penix. He was a great blessing to me, a great mentor to me. Not too long before that, I lost the dear friend, Dr. Kenneth Bean. And he had followed me in the pulpit there at Still Creek and passed very quickly. Didn't get really much of a chance to say goodbye. And by the way, it's funny, when somebody leaves you that you care about, you go back and you revisit the last words that you ever said to them. Amen? Were they good words? You know, what did you talk about? Those type things. So if we look at only those type things, the people who are taken away from us, the difficult circumstances we face, if we look at them through the world, through the eyes of the world, the finances, the physical, the emotional, it'll get you down. But we don't look like that. We look at these circumstances through the spiritual eyes of a Savior who can make all things right. And a place where, as the announcement said, Brother Brian had a chance to catch up with Brother Jack and Miss Geraldine, and to see Miss Barbara, and to see Katie, to see his mom and dad. And folks, we're only about a half a step behind him. I looked at some photos, and in fact, the message I had actually intended to bring this evening, and this one was the Lord changed my mind to bring this one just an hour or so before church. But it had to do with the idea of tombstones and monuments and markers. September the 11th, 2020, I lost my grandmother, 98 years old. And she was a young 98. And, you know, she just faded softly and went to be with the Lord. And she was buried because of her husband, my grandfather, in the military service. They were both buried together at Mountain Home. And Brother Vinoy, I was looking at the picture of the cemetery, and Brother Wayne, you were there. And I'm telling you, thousands and thousands and thousands of markers. Amen? Thousands of them. They're kind of all the same size, and they all look the same. And Brother Wayne, if you look at the backside of them, they really do all look the same. You know, we look at the world around us, Brother Lowell. We don't really always get a chance to know all the people that are there. They're kind of a blank slate, as it were. You know, we would recognize them by size and age and that type of thing. But you know, the fact of the matter is when you get to know somebody, it's the front of the tombstone. And I've heard people preach the message about the hyphen, the dash that represents your life. There's a number, there's a dash, there's another number. But the truth of the matter is that's not the only thing that's on the headstone. There's words on there. When I had the chance to write my grandmother's headstone to influence the engraving, she was a wife, she was a mother. The only other two words, she was a faithful believer. I don't know what's going to be on Brother Brian's tombstone, but I can tell you this. Those words represent so much who he was, so much of what God poured into his life and allowed it to run over to others. We had a chance to experience part of that during the hyphen, but we had a chance to see all of that with the words, the husband, the father, the great servant of God, the man who was kind. And I want those words to be applied to my life, to your life, to walk in the greatness of what God has called each one of us to do. Paul was writing to the Hebrew children here, the Jewish Christians, as it were. And what did he tell them? He made all these promises. He brought all this stuff so conveniently, so easily back to their memory. And he finished by saying that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He's never lost a battle. He's never turned his back on anybody. That we can stand in the confidence that says, the Lord is my helper, even in the most difficult circumstances, financial, emotional, you know, physical, and certainly he's the only answer we have for the spiritual. And we can look at his verses and say, hey, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, gave us the greatest promise that I think we could ever have as Christians. Brother Gary, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Brother Vinoy, you're separated from your friend, Brother Brian, but Jesus will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. Folks, those are promises that the world can't give you, but they're precious indeed. Would you pray with me this evening? Lord, we do thank you for the privilege to be here. And God, I thank you for your book, which is just an amazing account of God the Father interacting with ordinary average people all through the history of time. God, we're not abandoned here. Now, there's days like today, days like yesterday, that we absolutely do not like the circumstances of life, the hand that's been dealt to us, as it were. But, Lord, you've never abandoned us, never left us wanting for just a second. Sometimes it's hard to recognize that. But I ask God in this congregation, not just for the circumstances of today, but people facing great challenges, that you lift up the hearts. Help them to lift their eyes towards God, from whom all blessings flow. And help us to recognize, Lord, it may not always seem like it, but every day we're important to you. Lord, we love you. We want to be your church. We want to be salt. We want to be light in this world around us today. It takes great faith to do that. And Lord, we ask you to bless our faith as we follow you. These things we ask in your blessed name. Amen.